up, James Cohen, coming up on NFL Fantasy Live. We're going to answer your NFL.com Fantasy Genius questions, and Dr. Neil Goododger comes by to talk about injuries to RG3 and AJ Green. Molly, Fabs.
James, thank you. I'm Molly Kerriman. He's Michael Fabiano. And Fabs, you had a quarterback who had a huge day in week two that you're sitting.
That's right. Find out who that is. I'm also advising people to sit a running back you probably drafted in round one. Stick around to find out who that is.
Very interesting. Elliot, what's up next?
I'm Elliot.
I'm Marcus.
Do you have anybody you'd buy low on?
I do, but I'd rather sell high on my targets and touches column. NFL Fantasy Live starts right now.
Welcome to NFL Fantasy Live presented by Bose. I'm James Coe, alongside the Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano and Elliot Harrison as well. It's been a crazy couple of weeks in the NFL, and sometimes it's difficult to talk about serious stuff on fantasy, but we do have to do it. All right, the top headline in the NFL, of course, comes out of Minnesota, as the Vikings have placed Adrian Peterson on the exempt commissioner's permission list. This means Peterson will be required to stay away from the team and all team activities. Wednesday, the Vikings front office delivered a statement and answered questions including Peterson's future in Minnesota.
Adrian will be away from the team and focus on his personal situation. We will support Adrian during this legal and personal process, but we firmly believe this is the right decision.
As Peter said, there will not be a trial until 2015. Is it safe to say he's not playing this year?
You don't know that as of today. I don't know the legal proceedings yet and when the trials are and all that stuff.
He said 2015.
That's where it is scheduled today. So under the assumption, what we said in our statement is that until these legal matters are resolved, that he will remain on this exemption list.
So Adrian Peterson has an initial hearing set for October 8th, but the Montgomery County District Attorney had previously stated that a trial wasn't likely until 2015 if it gets that far. Regardless, the team will be without Peterson for the foreseeable future, and as you heard, there's no guarantee he'll be back this season. So let's look to this weekend, and of course the big name is going to be Matt Asiata. Peterson out, Matt Asiata in. He's going to continue to get the starting nod for the Vikings. How do you project Matt Asiata to play this Sunday?
Well, I like the matchup a lot against the New Orleans Saints. They haven't been good against the run this season. So Asiata could come in and be pretty productive. He's not Adrian Peterson,
no,
but he is going to fill that void in your starting lineup.
Very quickly, in terms of stats, he didn't do too well in terms of running the ball. We know that he did put up double-digit fantasy points, but when he ran the ball, he looked a little bit slow, a little bit plodding.
Yeah, well, I think that's what he is. I mean, I think he's a plotter. But I agree with Fabs. The Saints' run defense thus far, I know it's a short catalog, but bad tackling against the Falcons. They didn't exactly tear it up against Cleveland either.
Can we talk about Jerick McKinnon very quickly, though? He seems to have a long-term future in Minnesota. We're talking about a freak athlete out of Georgia Southern, a 4.4 40, also has a 40-inch vertical. There's a lot to like about Jerick McKinnon, isn't there, Fabs?
From a fantasy perspective, I still say he has more value in dynasty leagues. I'm not picking him up just yet.
Yeah, maybe better athlete than Asiata, but I don't know what that's going to do for you right now.
Yeah, that's a very good point. All right, more news now as NFL media insider Ian Rappaport reported Wednesday morning that the NFL and the NFLPA have agreed upon a revised drug policy and as a result have retroactively reduced the suspensions levied against both Wes Welker and Josh Gordon. We'll start with Wes Welker, who is now immediately eligible to play in week three. By the way, this is not file video. This right here is Wes Welker practicing this week, so he's got a very tough matchup on the road against a unit Fabs is likened to the 85 Bears. Denver on the road versus Seattle. He was back at practice Wednesday. Are you playing him this week, Fabs?
No, and forget about what Seattle did or didn't do last week. That was on the road in Seattle. They are a much tougher opponent. I'm a little bit worried that maybe Welker's snaps are limited. I'm just not touching him just yet.
Ellie, do you agree with that?
I do, and for those of you at home, file video is archived video. Nice TV term there. Wes Welker,
how dare you?
Hey, he lives in the slot. Seattle does have a little bit of trouble with that in the tight end, but I see a game of like five catches for 46 yards for Welker.
Not enough to start him.
Not enough for prefer you to play him right now.
He's an okay play, you're saying, in PPR leagues, but probably standard league scoring.
He's a three
it's
at
tough.
Most for me. Okay would be ceiling. There you go.
There you go. That's not good, by the way. The other big name impacted today, Josh Gordon's suspension was reduced to 10 games. I'm assuming if he's available, you know, there's going to be a big rush to go grab him off the waiver wire. He was the most statistically productive wideout in the game last year, even after missing a couple of games. I do have to ask you, though, 10 games. That's a long time to be stashing a guy on your bench. Do you do it?
Yes, and I've picked up Josh Gordon in every single league. I had done it a couple of weeks ago because think about what you're getting, mm-hmm. okay? He comes back. Mm-hmm. You have 3 or 4 weeks left, assuming you make the playoffs. That's like getting an absolute gem off the waiver wire. This was the best wide receiver in fantasy football last year. I will sit on him for as long as it takes when he's back. I've got a number one wide receiver to go along with the number one wide receiver I probably drafted already.
Elliot, do you agree with that? I mean, keep in mind what Cleveland is going through right now. He's going to miss a whole lot of games. We may even see Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football reference in this.
Let's hope so.
I get it.
But if he's
Who
in that game, does Josh Gordon's value, I mean, again, there's a lot of question marks if he could be productive.
It. But, James, I think most people out there and you guys probably feel like you drafted pretty well. People are still feeling pretty confident. Even people that auto-picked feel like they drafted pretty well.
That would be you.
If you like your starting lineup, right. Well, guess what? Week 15, 16, and 17, or 14, 15, and 16 is when you're going to need Josh Gordon the playoff run. You're not thinking about week 8. You're thinking about making the playoffs at 7-6 or 8-5, and then when you play that playoff game, you just click submit on Josh Gordon, and you get 15 points.
You will be thrilled if you do it now and have him later on in the season.
You got to make the playoffs first, I always say. All right, for more news, we send it over to Molly Karam and Marcus Grant.
Thank you, guys. I'm Molly Karam alongside fantasy editor Marcus Grant, and he does not auto-pick, just to clarify here, Elliot. Wednesday, a big day for most fantasy fans. It's when they get their waiver wire picks. So let's take a look at some waiver wire guys that you can still pick up that are available. And all these guys are available in 50% or more of leagues. Niall Davis, we've been hearing his name quite a bit. Bobby Rainey, obviously he's stepping in for Doug Martin. Ahmad Bradshaw, there's a running game in Naptown. And Antonio Gates. And let's talk about Bobby Rainey. Obviously, stepping in, as I just said, for the injured Doug Martin with that toe. Could he get some RB1 numbers on Thursday night if he's out?
You know, he will get some RB1 snaps at least. Mm-hmm. You don't know about the numbers. You kind of worry about what's going to happen with Bobby Rainey vis-a-vis Doug Martin. Martin right now is unofficially questionable. He's kind of getting some limited work in practice. I'm so concerned about how that rotation is going to go. The matchup was good. Atlanta has struggled against the running game, but I just don't know how the snaps are going to work out and whether or not you want to take that chance on a Thursday night.
Yeah, still some question marks there. That's a risky one, and we mentioned the Colts running the ball, and it's not Trent Richardson. It's Ahmad Bradshaw.
It is Ahmad Bradshaw, and I know they keep trying to give Richardson the start and give him the touches, but anybody with two sets of with some working eyes can see that Ahmad Bradshaw is the better running back there. He's more explosive running the football. He's catching it out of the backfield, had two touchdown catches in the Monday night game. And right now, he is the better guy, and I think eventually he's going to end up taking over that starting job.
Mohamed Sanu, how is he looking this week with A.J. Green's status shaky?
Well, I think right now Mohamed Sanu's a guy you pick up off the waiver wire, you plug him in maybe as a third receiver or a flex spot guy. He's going to see a lot of targets, especially if A.J. Green doesn't suit up this week. And you love the fact that he can throw the football down the field. It's kind of a sneaky little thing. You know it's not going to happen every week, but you love it when all of a sudden you see your wide receiver has you about 50 or 60 passing yards and maybe a touchdown.
I just want to clarify quickly. It was A.J. Green with the knee, and it was Doug Martin with the knee, excuse me, and A.J. Green with the toe. Get those injuries straight. Moving on, Steve Smith. Is he the guy in Baltimore?
He looks like the guy in Baltimore, and I think the biggest thing is he's running the entire route tree. I mean, he's going underneath, he's going across the middle, and occasionally they try to stretch the field with the guy. That's the difference between he and Torrey Smith right now. Smith just seems to be the go route guy. Steve Smith is the guy who's running the slants and getting the looks from Joe Flacco, and maybe 35-year-old guy has more in the tank than we thought.
And a chip on his shoulder.
Absolutely.
All right, let's take a look at what everyone has dropped to get those additions here. And these are the top 10 drops on NFL.com going into the season. Bishop Sankey, we were all very high on him, Marcus. And obviously we see RG3 up there, and we understand that one. No Sean Marino, Allen Hurns. And with Bishop Sankey, we had high hopes coming in, but he's just not getting the ball.
He's not getting the ball. So far through two games, he has a grand total of 8 carries. It has been split primarily between Dexter McCluster and Sean Green in the Titans' backfield. If you've got some depth, if you have a spot where you can hold on to him and wait for him to emerge, then maybe you go do that. Certainly in dynasty leagues, he's an option. But right now, if you need help with your running game because of so many injuries, I think it's time, at least for temporarily, to part ways with Bishop Sankey.
Marcus, this next one I don't totally get. Dwayne Allen had a bad game last week, but it was just last week. Are we pulling the plug too soon? Because we were high on this guy.
Absolutely. I'm with you. I don't really understand why everyone has jumped off the ship for Dwayne Allen. I think he's still going to be the top tight end target for Andrew Luck. Yes, he didn't do much against the Eagles, just the one target, no catches. But better days are coming for Dwayne Allen. Don't run away from him just yet.
All right, and how about Toby Gerhart? Is he worth a spot on your bench at this point? I get that he's the guy in Jacksonville.
He is certainly worth a spot on your bench, but I don't know that he's worth maybe putting to the waiver wire quite yet. He's still a workhorse there in Jacksonville. They don't have much behind him in that running game. I mean, if it's not Toby Gerhart, it's what, Denard Robinson? I mean, there's just not much that's going to steal some carries from Toby Gerhart right now. I know he has not provided the production the way a lot of people would have expected, but put him on your bench just now. Don't drop him and then wait for him to actually come around a little bit later.
And Riley Cooper, he was right off the board there. I'm saying goodbye to him on my team. Is that a smart move?
Yes, it is. You know, we saw Darren Sproles step into the offense, and we thought that Darren Sproles was going to take a lot of those targets that DeSean Jackson left behind. And maybe we didn't think that, you know, with Jeremy Maclin there, with LeSean McCoy there, with Zach Ertz there, Riley Cooper was going to be the odd man out. He's not getting a whole lot of production. The throws that have come his way, he's not connecting with Nick Foles so far this season. I think at this point it's fine to send Riley Cooper packing.
I'll trade you him.
No, not so much.
For Darren Sproles?
No, not so much.
That's a good one, right? Okay, just kidding. Good stuff. Thank
you. Nice try, though.
All right, coming up on NFL Fantasy Live, if I said it fast enough, it might have tricked you. Not so much. Do you believe the hype over Darren Sproles or Steve Smith after a big fantasy performance this week? We're giving hype a spin to reality next. And later, with RG3 out, who can you plug and play for week three? We're digging into some sleepers for your fantasy lineup this week that may be of equivalence to the replacements.
There was nothing going to deny Brandon Marshall.
I said, I have 3 months to do this before the season starts. I'm going to spend every single day conquering this.
Nobody cares in this league. There's no sympathy.
If you go on national TV and tell the world that you are cuckoo, they're going to look at you as cuckoo.
Yeah, I'm trying to rebuild my reputation here,
you
man.
Know, you have to play well. Just throw me the ball.
That looks like an awesome piece. I can't wait to see it. All right, so it's week three. Every year, some players get off to a very hot start, and every year we have to ask ourselves, do you believe the hype? So, guys, we're going to start with a little spark plug in Philadelphia. We're talking about Darren Sproles. He's the second highest scoring running back in the game. Elliot, do you believe?
No, I don't. How about that? I tell you what, Darren Sproles was awesome. 152 yards receiving against the Indianapolis Colts the other night. Also had a 19-yard touchdown run.
Yep.
Nifty little plays. But am I going to start him as an RB1 or RB2 every week? No, and I'm certainly not going to ignore the matchup with this guy. Now, if you said, hey, I'm going to put him in the flex every week, I might be okay with that. But if you're looking at him as an RB1 or RB2, you've got to look at what the matchup is. I think this guy is a feast or famine style player. I think that's what he is. I don't think he'll finish in the top 7 or 8 running backs in fantasy this year.
All right, let's talk about Baltimore, Triple S. I'm talking about Steve Smith Sr. versus another Smith, Torrey Smith. You see the targets, the receptions, yards, touchdowns, all that stuff in Steve Smith Sr.'s advantage. And right now he's a top 10 wide out in fantasy, ahead of Dez Bryant, ahead of Percy Harvin, ahead of Roddy White. I think you can throw Demaryius Thomas in there as well. Do you believe the hype, Fabs?
No, trade him. Sell high on him right now. Listen, go to your computer and start throwing him out there if you own Steve Smith. This is not going to continue. I mean, Torrey Smith has got to get better, Elliot. He's got to get better than he's been in the first couple of games.
I don't know that's
and there's
happen.
A lot of mouths to feed in that Baltimore Ravens passing game. You've got Owen Daniels, Dennis Pitta. You've also got, of course, Steve Smith Sr., Triple S, as James likes to call him. I'm selling high on him. I don't believe the hype, and I don't think he's going to continue to put up these kind of numbers.
Elliot, can you tell this man why he is wrong?
Well,
no, because I'm right.
Listen, I love you, but I don't think that Torrey Smith is going to be able to come back. Last year,
Torrey Smith had over 1,000 yards, mm-hmm. 137 targets, but he only caught 65 of them. That's less than 50% because they throw it to him vertically so much. Right. Well, now they got Steve Smith that can run every route on the route tree, including the vertical game. They tried to hit him deep against the Steelers. So now he can do everything that Torrey Smith can do and more. I think Torrey Smith's targets are going to go way down. I think Steve Smith's the guy. Now, will he finish ahead of all those names that James mentioned? No.
How many wide receivers finish with 1,000 yards at his age in the NFL's history?
It doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't.
That's what Stats I'm saying. Versus tapes? He's going to be better than Torrey.
I love it. Hey, you know what? Let's continue
very well be.
This stats versus tapes argument. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Phillip Rivers. Yeah. He's performed unbelievably well, and of course, a lot of that was sparked by a huge week two against Seattle. Do you believe the hype in Phillip Rivers?
I think he's a QB1, but I don't think he's a guy that you're starting week in and week out just based on his name, Phillip Rivers. I think you have to look at the matchups. And this week, you look at a matchup on the road against an AFC East team. Okay. He has had 8 such games, okay? He's only averaged 215 passing yards, only 12 touchdowns, 8 picks. Not good.
Look at Elliott.
On the road against AFC East teams.
Yes, exactly.
It's like tacos and bananas, man. I mean, it's so random.
Right? You know,
if you said because the Bills are a tough matchup, I'd buy it. But I'm not buying the AFC East stuff. Phillip Rivers, good play in fantasy this year, not this week against Buffalo, because it's Buffalo.
They're in the AFC East, by
Not
the way.
Because they're an AFC East team.
You know, it's funny. They agree, but they don't agree. It's very odd. Anyways, coming up on NFL Fantasy Live, it's Wednesday, so you can count on us to bring you Michael Fabiano's Stardom and Sit-ems. For week 3, are you sitting the Broncos against the Seahawks? And when we return, we've got the good doctor in the house. He's not here to treat Akbar Baja Villamila, but he will be breaking down which players might be walking around like this coming up. All right, welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live. A long list of injuries on Sunday, of course, headlined by Robert Griffin III, Jamaal Charles on there as well. Look at all these names. Eric Decker, A.J. Green, Allen Hurns, DeSean Jackson, Vernon Davis.
Almost all lower body.
Yes, absolutely. And we'll be getting to the difference there as well. With a bunch of big-name fantasy names on the sidelines, we're talking injuries. And to do that, we have to call in the big guns. Dr. Neil Gadadra here on hand to help explain what some of these injuries mean and how it's going to impact the prospective players moving forward. And we're going to start in Washington, Dr. Neil, and talk about RG3. Dislocated his ankle this week against the Jaguars. What exactly does that mean?
Well, I tell you, that is a tremendous injury. I mean, when you hear dislocated ankle, we typically associate that with a fracture.
Sure.
It doesn't make sense that it would pop out otherwise. But for this purpose, he got lucky, and it's very unique.
He got lucky.
Lucky, because it dislocated, but he didn't fracture. So guess what? No surgery. And if I show you the foot here, I'll show you exactly what happened to RG3, okay? His left foot turned out. So as a result, if you look at all the tendons and ligaments and everything around the ankle, you can see there's a lot. This is what he did, okay? He turned and did that.
That doesn't
okay?
look good.
That's not good.
And it popped out. And so you can see
right.
what it did with his ankle ligaments. So the key is that's got a scar back in. No surgery. You're looking at 2 weeks in a cast, a few more weeks in a boot. He'll do extensive rehab. You may see him back out there early in 6 to 8 weeks.
So now we know the timetable. We saw the injury. It looks very, you know, it looks pretty serious. In terms of football, what does that mean in terms of his drop-back ability?
Well, it's going to be tough. I mean, obviously, when he drives off that left foot, he's not going to want to turn it out. And that's what's going to cause him problems when he tries to drop back or tries to cut to the right or left. He's going to have a severe problem with that, especially when you see him back. He's not going to have much strength or stability, that feeling of stability in the ankle.
From a football standpoint, Akbar, we're looking at a guy now that we're probably going to see a lot of shotgun moving forward when he does come back. But does that fit in with Gruden's scheme?
Well, you have to adjust. I think that's what they're going to have to do. Jay Gruden's going to adjust with RG3 and whatever limitation that he has. And so you want to put him in the right situation to thrive. And I'm wearing a brace
yes.
similar, right, Doc?
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
To something that he would wear coming back from this injury. And what I notice about wearing this, and I've worn one of these before, is very hard to make any type of lateral cuts. So you're going to see him doing a lot of linear stuff up and down to where that
Give
limits.
Give us a quick drop back and just tell us what you're feeling.
Well, typically you'll see those quarterbacks when they're dropping back, they're going to drop back like this, planting here. It's so hard, and I'm going to call this the old school Achilles Danny Marino, where you're dropping back like this rather than going back and really getting out there some speed. But now he's going to be in a shotgun, so he won't have to drop back that much. Mm-hmm. And even now, just walking back into my spot here, it's still very hard to walk with it.
Interesting. All right, so the chance of, very quickly, the chance of re-injury and the long-term effects.
It's big. You know, ankle injuries are tough. Dislocations are tougher. you're looking at him at least for a year or two having this kind
a
of
year or two.
Instability symptoms in the ankle. He'll be out there playing,
sure,
but it may affect the way he plays, just like Akbar mentioned right now.
All right, very good. So Bengals wide receiver A.J. Green left last Sunday's game with a foot strain. Dr. Neal, take us through, what does that mean?
Well, it means that he strained the ligaments in his foot. So what that means is that there's no fracture, but it's going to be tough for him to actually bend the foot. And it's going to be really tough to jump and run. And so, for instance, with Akbar, we put him in a kind of a boot,
right,
kind of to emulate what he's going to have. And what you'll notice in A.J. Green's shoes as well, they'll probably put like a steel shank in there so it won't let him bend because it hurts.
And it's so frustrating because when you're playing with that metal shank in your shoe, you want to be able to roll up on the balls of your feet so you can be able to generate speed.
Yes.
And for A.J. Green, that's his game, is to be able to generate that speed. And with this metal shank, it makes it very hard. So you almost have to roll into the speed, which makes it very hard to get off the line of scrimmage as a wide receiver because you have to build up speed as you go because there's not that initial burst that you get from rolling on the top. I mean, even now, I can do it here on my right, but on my left, it's very hard to roll on the top because the bottom is so stiff.
Does it impact the way that you cut? You talked about RG3 and the lateral movement.
Yes, it's a slow cut because when you're cutting, it's almost like turning over a big circle, like when you're trying to just work into it. So as he's running, he's going to have to slow into it and then get out. So everything is good. What you're looking at for his cuts will be slower.
And the thing with A.J. Green, he's been so good at route running. And especially you talk about that explosive first step. All right, let's talk from wide receiver to the running back now. Saints running back Mark Ingram broke his hand in the first half Sunday, then actually played the entire second half with this injury. He's now said to be out a month. Question for you, Dr. Neal. If the guy can play an entire second half with a broken hand, why is he now out an entire month?
No more adrenaline.
Exactly.
I don't know, you tell me, Doc.
Well, I tell you what, it's a great question because it starts swelling up right away.
Okay.
You know, so he was able to play through with adrenaline, like you said. But once you have a fracture, you want that to heal in the right spot, especially for an NFL running back. He's going to take multiple hits to it as people try to swipe the ball. So for him, it's important that it heals. It's important that he doesn't dislocate it further. There are nerves. There are vessels in that area. It's better to be safe and not take a risk. So for him, he's going to spend the next 4 weeks letting it heal. And the swelling has to go down. The pain has to go down. He'll still feel stiff in there for the next few weeks.
Is it possible? I'm going to grab this football here real quick so Akbar can kind of just show us what this means. But is it possible he comes back sooner than 4 weeks?
Yeah, it is possible. But you see Akbar's wearing a brace to kind of emulate either what he will wear or what he feels currently. And Akbar can tell us what it'll feel like if he does go out there and play.
Well, I tell you, all running backs learn this from a very young and fundamental age, is that there's 3 points of security when it comes to the ball. Obviously, you want to grab it here. You want to secure it into your forearm. And as you can see, it's very hard for me to secure this ball into my forearm.
Interesting.
And then you want to tuck it in underneath here. There's all of this space, and that's going to make it very easy to pop this ball out. So it's going to be very challenging for him to actually secure this ball. So perhaps he starts running like this to secure the ball. We could see some ball security issue. And then there's not a lot of mobility. You need that range of motion to be able to cuff.
It's stiff here.
It's very stiff, but that's to protect it, right?
Yeah,
that's to protect the doctor.
Yes.
And so I don't have that. I'm not going to feel very safe, and I'm going to feel very insecure running the ball.
Talk about the passing game.
Well, the passing game is very hard. Doc, you played a little quarterback before, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah.
That's it. And then look where that ball. And I've got hands. Trust me, I've got hands. But you can see, look, this ball is not very secure here. Look at this palm here. I've got a big thing elevated situation going on here. That makes it very hard to secure that ball the way I want to. So you put that ball out there like that, this ball could be flying out into the defender's hand.
That's very good. No Sean Moreno dislocated his elbow Sunday, but if you want to see Dr. Neal's take on that injury and what that means for Moreno moving forward, follow us on Twitter, at NFL Fantasy, to see that video. All right, still to come, we're putting our experts to the test and giving them 2 minutes to get through some of your fantasy genius questions. Plus, you can't put up stats if you can't touch the ball, right? So it's time to take a look around the league and talk targets and touches. See who's topping the list next on NFL Fantasy Live.
It's Wednesday, people.
Hump day.
Oh, yes, it is. The day for all your stardom and sit-in players brought to you by Michael Fabiano. He's serving up his favorites for week 3. And our Adam Rank stops by for a spin on the sleeper train. Hey, you, that is A.J. Green and RG3. Listen up because he is talking to you, my friend.
And we didn't forget about you stats junkies either. Marcus Grant and the crew will take us into the world of targets and touches. That's all next right here on NFL Fantasy Live. Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live. Molly Karam here with Marcus Grant and Elliot Harrison. Great hump day. That was nice. Chant in unison.
We like good to stuff. Be part of the crowd.
Yes, I love it. Made me smile. And also a big thank you for the good doctor, Dr. Neil Goododger, for stopping by, dropping some knowledge there on us. But time to get back to you, the fans, and answer some of the questions.
Marcus is already cheating. He's doing
he
last
is?
Second
oh,
I'm
notes. Cheating.
Yes.
Okay, these questions were asked on Fantasy Genius. If you want your question answered on the show, make sure to submit them at NFL.com/genius, and Marcus might cheat on his answers. This just did. It's time now for In the Moment, presented by the Lincoln Motor Company. Research is not cheating.
You're stealing my
Okay, let's focus. We have 2 minutes, people. You know the drill. We keep
no
it moving,
looking.
Run a tight ship, and answer your questions. We start with the quarterbacks. Better start. This is a tough one. Phillip Rivers or Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan.
I'm going Phillip Rivers.
Against that defense in Buffalo.
I'm just worried about the Thursday night curse. That's my thing.
He just doesn't want to be wrong enough to think about it all week.
That's right, exactly.
That's basically what it is. It's all about him. Better trade Reggie Bush for Frank Gore.
If I'm getting Frank Gore, I feel like I'm winning that deal because he's still the workhorse in that Niner offense.
I agree, and Joyke Bell scares me.
Mm-hmm. Better start Keenan Allen or Kelvin Benjamin? I'm going with the rook here.
Yeah, I like Kelvin Benjamin. I don't like the Chargers against that defense in Buffalo.
All right, I can be the contrarian. I think the Chargers find ways to get Allen the ball, especially underneath. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Benjamin against the Steelers. All right, better start Keenan Allen or Pierre Garçon?
Oh, cookies.
I'm going to go Pierre Garçon. I think it's just going to be a high-scoring game this week.
You know what? I'm actually going to take Keenan Allen in this one. I don't like Garçon against the Eagles with a new quarterback.
All right. Who to drop, Golden Tate or Anquan Boldin?
Oh, boy. You know what? I would drop Golden Tate. I hate to say it. We've talked about this off camera a little bit. A lot of targets for Anquan Boldin, that offense, I think, coming up. With Vernon Davis, not 100%.
I'm glad you've come around to my way of seeing things. Yeah, I'm going Golden Tate on this one. Thanks.
Anquan Boldin's got a tough matchup, though, against that Arizona secondary. Just saying, better pick up Larry Donnell or Travis Kelce?
I'm picking up Travis Kelce if I have that choice. Larry Donnell, I'm still not sold on. Travis Kelce, a lot of upside.
Yeah, I'm still worried about that Giants passing game as a whole as well.
Not sold on the Giants? Shocking. Better start Chris Johnson or Shane Vereen?
I'm going Chris Johnson here simply because I think he's going to be on the field a little bit longer than Shane Vereen.
You know what? I was going to say gut play. I'm with him. Chris Johnson against the Bears. Mm. Bears defense, a lot of question marks too.
Okay. Better pick up Mohamed Sanu or Niles Paul?
I'll go Mohamed Sanu on that one.
I'll go Sanu. He might throw you a touchdown pass.
That's right. You get points.
You never know.
Look, I love when you guys agree. It makes my life easy. Better start Justin Forsett or Bernard Pierce?
Bernard Pierce because he seems to be getting most of the carries right now.
Can I go neither?
No.
Bernard
Make
Pierce.
Make a decision.
Bernard Pierce.
Bernard Pierce.
Say it like
is.
You like it.
He got some touches against
say
Pittsburgh.
Like you,
I don't have to like it.
Say it like you mean it.
Can you pick up somebody else?
All right.
Niall Davis on the waiver wire.
Good stuff, guys. Thank you so much. That was In the Moment presented by the Lincoln Motor Company. James and Fabs, take it away, guys.
All right. Thank you guys so much. It's that time of the week, right? Not
it
just
is.
Hump day. Although we got a great call from the hump day. But also, how about Stardom and Sit 'em? Of course, we're here with Michael Fabiano to talk about his starts and sits for the week. And you can check it out online, NFL.com/start-sit, for the entire breakdown. But first, let's talk about those quarterbacks. Everyone likes to look at this list of who to start, who to sit in terms of that quarterback. I know I'm doing it as well. I got Tom Brady. I just picked up the Washington quarterback.
Kirk Cousins. That's right.
Thank you for helping me out there.
Of course.
I'm trying to figure out who to start. So I'm going to listen very closely here. But let's start with Andrew Luck.
Yeah, let's start with Andrew Luck. A lot of people on Twitter are saying, why are you telling me to start Andrew Luck? He's a no-brainer. Well, there's a lot of other people on Twitter who keep asking me, should I start Andrew Luck? Pretty soon he is going to be in that list of Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers. No-brainer. This is a great matchup this week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's had 4 career games against them, and in 3 of them, he has scored multiple touchdowns. Andrew Luck is a guy I told you was going to break into the top 3 this year. He's well on his way in 2014. Now, a quarterback that I'm sitting this week that a lot of people might not agree with me is Phillip Rivers. And yes, he's coming off a great game against the Seattle Seahawks, and I give him all the credit in the world. But listen to this stat, all right? Phillip Rivers
against the AFC East on the road. 8 career road games. He's averaged 215 yards with just 12 touchdowns and 8 picks. Those aren't great numbers.
No.
The Buffalo Bills defense is underrated, both from a reality and a fantasy perspective. So I say Phillip Rivers is going to struggle a little bit in week 3.
All right, let's take a look at your partial list of your starts and sits at the quarterback position. Start of Jay Cutler, man. Coming off of that huge game against the Niners. He's got a great matchup against the Jets. Colin Kaepernick, Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson. Sit him. Andy Dalton, Phillip Rivers. Some big names on the sit-em
board. Peyton Manning is in my owner's beware, but you have to play Peyton Manning.
I don't know
but
how you
I would not be surprised if he did not have a great game.
Can we talk about the running back position?
We can.
You know, when we think about some of the hot waiver wire pickups this week, I'm sure those guys will be on your list as well. One of those guys, Niles Davis.
And Niles Davis is probably the hottest pickup off the waiver wire this week because Jamaal Charles is down with the high ankle sprain. And I say get him into your lineup. I have him ranked as a low-end RB1 this week. Niles Davis is going to touch the ball 20 to 25 times out of the backfield for the Kansas City Chiefs, and this is a good matchup against Miami. They've allowed 130-plus rushing yards and 9 rushing touchdowns in their last 9 home games. Davis is the whole offense here, James. He is the whole offense, and let's be honest. The eye test showed us he looked better than Jamaal Charles did when Charles was actually healthy.
It's crazy to say.
I am going with Niles Davis. Another running back I like this week is Shane Vereen. Listen, I know Bill Belichick hates our fantasy football team, and I liked Vereen last week, right, and it was Stephen Ridley. I would start both of these guys, Ridley and Vereen. Vereen obviously has more value in PPR leagues, but they're playing the Raiders, and the Raiders are awful against the run. They've been just terrible. Third most fantasy points allowed to the position. So if you have Ridley, good flex start. If you have Vereen, good flex starter, RB2 in PPR leagues. A player that I'm sitting this week, and this is probably going to come as no surprise, is Monte Ball. Against the Seattle Seahawks, they have allowed an average of fewer than 70 rushing yards in their last 4 home games. They've also allowed 1 100-yard rusher and only 3 rushing touchdowns in their last 13 games in Seattle. And playing in Seattle is difficult. It might be the toughest matchup in the entire National Football League, not only for NFL teams, but for fantasy players as well. So Monte Ball is a guy that if you have depth at the running back position, and some people do because they picked up a lot of guys off the waiver wire, is really a risk this week.
Interesting stuff, especially considering where he was drafted this year. But you're right, Seattle at home, a different animal entirely.
Nasty.
All right, start him. Ahmad Bradshaw, also an interesting name there. Chris Johnson, Shane Vereen, sit him. Frank Gore, C.J. Spiller rounding out those. But, of course, you can find that big list, of course, online as well. Let's talk about the wide receivers, though. How about Mike Wallace? Is he a starter or is he a sit?
He is. Mike Wallace has played very well over the first couple of games of the season. And now he's a guy that you're going to be starting almost week in and week out or until further notice. And this is a very, very good matchup against the Chiefs. Their pass defense has looked absolutely dreadful. They've given up the 8th most fantasy points to wide receivers this year. And Wallace has a receiving touchdown in 4 straight home games. And he has 200-yard games in those 4 home contests. Start Mike Wallace. I'm also starting Cordarrelle Patterson.
Get the hearts ready.
He didn't have a good game last week, but the hearts are still popping out. You can't see it over the B-roll, but they're still popping out. The Saints have allowed the 2nd most fantasy points to wide receivers this year. They're allowing an average of over 320 receiving yards this year per game. Those are big numbers. And with Adrian Peterson out, they're going to utilize Cordarrelle Patterson as one of their main weapons in this offense. Start him and start him with confidence. A guy that I don't have confidence in this week, Roddy White. Now, he's questionable for Thursday night's game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But if he does play for the Falcons, he should not be playing for your fantasy football team. He has averaged 46 receiving yards and scored 1 touchdown in his last 7 home games against the Buccaneers. And furthermore, he has just 3 receiving touchdowns in 17 career games against the Buccaneers. I gave you the stat about Roddy White last week on the road against AFC teams. He's not good. Guess what? Last week on the road AFC team, he was not good.
3 touchdowns in 7 games.
Sometimes these trends that I can dig up or we dig up here, they really do end up holding up.
Yeah, interesting. All right, start him. Alshon Jeffrey still dealing with that hamstring injury, but a tasty matchup against the Jets. Jeremy Maclin.
Tasty. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll eat it all day. All right. Victor, speaking of, Victor Cruz, salsa dance. No, sit him.
No.
Eric Decker, Torrey Smith as well. All right, speaking of the Falcons, make sure to join CBS and NFL Network for Thursday Night Football. That will showcase a NFC South showdown between the Tampa Bay Bucks and the Atlanta Falcons. NFL Total Access kickoff starts at 6 p.m. on NFL Network. Coverage continues at 7:30 on CBS and NFL Network. Football starts there. All right, coming up next, we're doing a little stat check and getting into some targets and touches. Ahmad Bradshaw stole the light away from Trent Richardson. What that means for their respective fantasy values. And are you already stir crazy over getting those trades in? Don't worry, we're doing a little buy low, sell high on some of our favorite receivers and running backs when we return.
Welcome back into NFL Fantasy Live, and let's take a look at the top touches from this season here. Arian Foster and DeMarco Murray leading the pack. Gio Bernard, LeSean McCoy, and then Le'Veon Bell. And Marcus Grant is going to give us the lowdown on targets and touches from week two. Marcus, take it away.
The infamous double fumble will be the lasting image of James Jones from week two, but it overshadowed the Raiders receiver seeing 14 targets in Oakland's loss. The veteran converted those chances into 112 receiving yards and a touchdown. Jones might have just taken the lead as the Raiders wide out to own, if you're into that sort of thing. It took about two quarters for the Packers offense to get going Sunday, but once it did, wowzers. Aaron Rodgers locked in on Jordy Nelson and threw him the football 16 times, the most targets of any player in week two, and Nelson turned it into 9 catches for 209 yards and a score. If you freaked out